Welcome to the Czech blog, everybody. I'm excited. We have Comic-Con just passed last week. I wish I could have been there. I've been in the past. It's a ton of fun. So we're back on our comic book theme with Jatour Pierre. Hey, Jatour, how are you?
We're back with the comic book theme, and the symbol for today is W.
I don't need to edit this one out, do I?
No, because I'm from the West Coast.
Okay.
So now I'm, you know, claiming my set. And it's also for Wonder Woman.
Right. Which we don't need to fuzz out at all, because Wonder Woman was just an amazing film. This is not going to be about the film. We're going to do some real stuff, but... As a comic book nerd, loved the movie. It was great.
Yeah, I did as well. I didn't really like the end fight, but the movie itself, I thought was awesome. I would have liked to see a little bit more beastie Wonder Woman, like a more athletic build, personally. Mm. But we can get negative comments from that as we go along.
Great. Direct them all to Jator, please. I like the theme. Wonder Woman as the sort of heroine for the week is great. We've been talking about the HPA axis, right? And the relationship between stress and how that, the real scientific basis behind how that manifests in, you know, chronic disease and, you know, the sort of aches and pains and illnesses that we experience. So now I understand today what you'd like to talk about is some of the more subtle stresses, right? So as opposed to, say, diet or not sleeping, the more subtle stresses and the role that we often play in creating some of those stresses.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating topic, and I really wonder a lot about subtleties. I really wonder a lot about what isn't being said. I really wonder a lot about my own thoughts, my own perceptions, my own ideas. So for me, that word or wonder for Wonder Woman is kind of this exploration of wondering about everything that you perceive, that you think, that you do, that you choose, the decisions you make, the hand gestures that you do. When I watch a video of myself, I wonder why I use my hand so often. So I think she's a great... a character and a great hero of wonderment, of looking, you know, taking that first word and wondering about all this stuff. So when we tie that into the HPA axis, looking at what are these subtle ideas around how we create stress in our lives that we may be completely unconscious to, that are facilitating that process. And also giving some voice to why individually, my own experience, why it was hard to get out of HPA axis dysregulation or adrenal fatigue, giving some voice to that and some ideas around that. And then also directing some of the more intellectual minds who want the hard and nitty gritty biochemistry to some resources to dive deep into that, because as a lesson for myself in doing these videos with you, I have to really be clear for myself. What do I want to share?
Yeah.
And what am I passionate about? So when we were talking about sharing that biochemistry, do I know and have I studied that biochemistry? Yes. Am I passionate about it?
Yeah.
No. But what I am passionate about is looking kind of underneath these stories. And where they come from.
Yeah. Well, the biochemistry is, like you said, for the science heads, that's really fascinating stuff. And it creates that link between the everyday and the physiological basis for the things that we feel. But practically, right, when we want to go about, you know, getting to the roots of our issues and finding ways to get, you know, actually really heal ourselves, the biochemistry, in a way, is almost incidental, because I'm not going to be tinkering with my biochemistry. I'm going to be changing, you know, my lifestyle habits or the things that cause those, right?
for sure. We're going to be, we can look at the mechanistic view of things. What's the symptom that shows up in the biochemistry? We can see that kind of the downstream of it. We can see that downstream from the brain's perspective and downstream into the HPA axis.
Yeah.
However, like you said, from a practical perspective, that may be super cool to understand.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's really, getting out of so much being into the micro. Micro is beautiful,
yeah.
But it's panning back that camera and looking at the macro of the entire person's life and their choices and decisions and their mental and emotional state and their facilitated pathways, because all of that's what funnels into the downstream effect and shows up as the dysfunction or the mechanism that's expressing the dysfunction.
Yeah, yeah. So when you talk about the subtler stresses, what do you mean?
Yeah. So for me, what I mean is looking at subtle stresses from this lens. One of the things that I've noticed that's really difficult for people to move out of is this kind of HPA axis dysregulation, because it requires some level of complete life change.
Mm.
It's not simply going after what you're eating. It's really looking at your perceptions of reality. It's looking at your interpretations of reality. It's looking at what's important to you from a success perspective or non-success perspective.
Mm.
Your childhood programming, whether that's from your parents, socioculturally, etc. Because all of that is what funnels in and creates our daily behavior patterns. So, to look at the HPA axis, we want to look at the subtle kind of mental and emotional aspects of that. And as a quick example of that, many people, let's say, especially you're not in San Diego anymore, but you used to be. Many people in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
It's sunny, it's beautiful. And let's say we all go to the beach together. Mm. Have you ever noticed how when we go to the beach together, a lot of people lay out in the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, okay, a lot of people lay out in the sun. Cool. Mm. Have you also noticed that a lot of people lay out in the sun and pass out?
Yeah.
They fall asleep.
Yeah.
Okay, so they fall asleep. Most of the day is quite relaxed. I haven't been to the beach in a while, but you probably don't get the greatest reception for all of your toys and iPhones and iPads. Mm. Maybe you do, but generally speaking, that stuff's kept to the side. So people are relaxing, reading, and or passing out.
Yeah.
Then they leave and they're all driving home in the car and someone says, man, the sun was out so strong today. It made me so tired. I just slept all day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, that's not true.
Yeah.
What happened is in that environment, one, it's socially acceptable to lay down and fall asleep. Mm. So you feel a safety with that.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's socially acceptable to feel how tired you are.
Yeah.
It's socially acceptable to be a restful place. That's the idea of, essentially going there is rest and relax, which is this place where everybody kind of accepts that.
Yeah.
So it feels less stressful to the ego to do that because everyone else around us is also doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Part of the group or the groupthink ideas, right?
Yeah.
So what am I saying here? Well, I'm saying here is that part of the process of getting out of HPA axis dysregulation and or adrenal fatigue is fortunately or unfortunately the participant of life, you or I, we have to feel how tired we are.
Mm.
We have to actually allow that to sit into us so we can feel how dysregulated we are. We can feel how fatigued we are.
Mm.
But from another subtle perspective, that isn't genuinely allowed by most of us internally nor externally.
Mm.
So what do we do to prevent that? What do we do to prevent ourselves from resting? Well, we stay up late under artificial lighting. That causes a stress response. Mm-hmm. We use coffee or bulletproof coffee, etc. Nothing against bulletproof coffee. First thing in the morning on an empty stomach. We use intermittent fasting. We use sort of use all of these tricks and tools that can speed the system up to wake us up and feel like we have energy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with intermittent fasting. I'm not saying anything's wrong with bulletproof coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. What I am saying is that all of that stuff, in my perspective, needs to be contextualized. So it needs to be put in context with who we're actually dealing with.
Yeah.
And if we're dealing with somebody that is has a high physiological load or high allostatic load, one of the things you might notice with those people is they use a lot of internal and external mechanisms to cause the stress response, whether that, again, is coffee, stimulants, drugs, staying up late.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the most fascinating one is if you look into your own life and you then maybe guess into your clients' lives around who are feeling very stressed and fatigued, it's really fascinating to consider, is it possible that some of us that are in that state actually cause external turmoil and tension, argument, disagreement, anger, self-sabotage, failing of business, etc., to feel the stress response so that we can then feel like we have energy to do what we need to do?
It's
fascinating when you look at it through that perspective, because then you start to see, like, wow, am I co-creating arguments in my life to stress, to facilitate the stress response so I can feel those neurotransmitters and hormones so I can feel like I have energy?
And feel like you're alive, too, right? I mean, in a way, look, if you can't make yourself happy and feel alive that way, well, there's another way to go, right? As opposed to just feeling nothing, right? Which is
for
making
sure.
yourself feel stressed, making drama, all of those sort of things, yeah.
For sure, and I wonder, right, back to Wonder Woman, like wondering, okay, well, It's also wondering about how addictive are stress hormones and neurotransmitters. They're highly addictive. Are they highly addictive? Well, one perspective maybe is that they're highly addictive because if you allow yourself to feel how tired you are and you allow yourself to rest and or pass out or not get stuff done, that can be another very, very scary path to go down. So you have to cause some type of stress response in your life, whether it's through nutrition, whether it's through lack of sleep, whether it's through stimulants, whether it's through argument or self-sabotage.
Exercise.
Over-exercise.
Yeah.
So that you can get the energy to get stuff done. And we look at that from a sociocultural perspective. We're not celebrated, James, for doing nothing.
Yeah, that's right. That's
we're
right.
not celebrated for, you know, resting or yesterday, half the day. It's like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy a half a day of Netflix. And I laid in bed and I Netflixed out and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I didn't guilt and shame myself about it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as a necessary part of balance.
Yeah.
It doesn't always have to be, you know, going out in nature or all these other ideas that we create of like the have to's to create balance.
Yeah.
It can be these other things.
Mm.
And why Wonder Woman's really important to me, because that she brings up the idea for me of wondering about everything.
Yeah.
Wondering about why I would feel guilty about Netflixing for a day. Where does that come from?
Yeah. So, gosh, wondering about everything though. I mean, as a practice, you know, again, as this practical guy, you know. So, what is the wonder you start with?
What is the wonder you start with? Wow, that's a really good question. So I think my perspective is that would be the individual. So I can start with the wonder that I first started with. And the wonder that I first started with was wondering about my reactive behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means for me is, let's even something as simple as a bug landing on me.
Mm.
And wondering, I noticed like a bug would land, fly or mosquito, and there'd be this immediate reaction to get the bug off.
Yeah.
So I started to just be curious about that. Like, wow, it's really interesting that that's immediate kind of survival reaction. So I started to wonder about, wow, can I be present and aware when a bug lands on me to pause and then make the choice to do that?
Yeah.
And that was one of the first places that I started, was wondering about body reactions, body feelings. Where does that come from? Why am I reactive? And that kind of then opened up this other idea of maybe behavioral or emotional reactions. Why do I flight in certain situations? Why do I flight in certain situations? Why do I freeze in certain situations? And why do I facade in certain situations?
Yeah.
And those are kind of the four F's of reactive behavior. And that's where I started.
Fight, flight, freeze, and facade?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to remember. And, you know, I wonder, maybe this is the thing. Maybe it doesn't really matter where you start, right? Because if you're going to continue to wonder, wherever you start, a sort of unleashes this chain of inquiry, right?
For me, completely true. It's like starting where you feel comfortable. I mean, we talked about this before. There was a moment as I was going through the Czech practitioner stuff, I was peeing, and I noticed that one foot would veer out to the left, and then I'd put my weight on the right. So I started to wonder about that, and then I started to watch clients and wonder about their posture. Why do they stand like that outside of kind of technical reasons? They sit too much. They're at computers. They have faulty breathing patterns. Okay, cool. Well, what else could be there? So the perspective for me that I've been really playing with a lot is, which is, it slips out all the time, so I try my best to bring it back, which is, would I be willing to notice what I usually don't notice?
Yeah, that's an interesting sort of puzzle, right?
Yes.
I mean, yes. I guess it's just how you start to discover those things. And again, maybe it doesn't really matter. You just start with the first wondering, and then eventually that leads you in the right direction.
Yeah. Or lead you in a direction, because my language would be there is no right or wrong direction. There's simply direction. So, you know, it's so fascinating to take that wonderment and that awareness and the practicality of, wow, am I afraid of feeling how tired I am?
Yeah.
How many of us know people or ourselves use a stimulant to go work out?
Yeah.
How many people use coffee to go do their workout?
Yeah. That's interesting. So this brings me to a different... So we've been talking about Wonder Woman in the sense of wonder, of inquiry. But there's this other side to this that you're bringing up, I think, the wonderment side, right? When we talk about wonderment, it's this joy and excitement of discovery, right?
Totally.
And openness, in a way. And so that's the other part of this... of the sort of Wonder Woman as our hero of the week, right, is that you ask the questions, but you're open and excited and interested in the discovery, in the discoveries you make.
And to steal right from the comic books, Wonder Woman herself was on this island, and she was wondering, why are we separating from the rest of the world? Why are we not out there helping the humans? Why are we not doing what we're here to do? And then as she moved out into the world, she was also, remember in the movie, she was in wonderment about ice cream and new experiences. So she's a beautiful character and heroine that holds that wonder and wonderment about life. For me, she is.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, certainly in the movie they sort of played that up, but yeah, for sure. And you know, the movie is fascinating in a way because it is a discovery about, right? So the claim is that the world of men is a horrible place, and you don't want to go there, and you should stay here. And the discovery that, well, that's not all true, right?
Right. And I love that because a lot of us have the perception that diving into ourselves, diving into the shadow is a scary place. Don't go there. The darkness, don't look there. Always have a smile on your face. Always be happy. Always put this, the spiritual bypassing up. And what I've discovered through diving into my shadow or my unconscious aspects of self is that yes, there are parts there that are scary to look at, that are dark, maybe even twisted, for sure. And I've also found beauty and joy and awe in looking in there as well. So I really love this idea of Wonder Woman kind of being a symbol or a metaphor for wonderment and wonder about life and our kind of general everyday perspective of it.
So you mentioned at the outset too that you had some resources for the science heads.
So science head resources for biochemistry, which are, trust me, I'm a big science head too. However, it's not as fun for me to chat about. So one book that I have here, it's called The Role of Stress and the HPA Axis in Chronic Disease Management, Principles and Protocols for Healthcare Professionals. It's by a guy named Thomas G. Williams, PhD. Excellent resource and a deep dive into the biochemistry. And then another guy, Gabor Mate, MD. One of his books is When the Body Says No, Exploring the Stress-Disease Connection. He also has many other books on stress-disease connection, etc. And it's a deep dive into, again, the chemistry and the neurophysiology of this. Another great place that I've found through searching is a place called Khan University. It's an online school. I believe it's mainly donation-based. And they tend to be really good in terms of the latest and greatest, what's going on from a physiological perspective, etc. And it's an online school. You can go learn about anything, health, physiology, biochemistry, mathematics. They have the prep for the MCATs on there, so you can do a deep dive into that as well.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Well, I like this idea of, and maybe we should have thought about it this way in our previous superhero sort of episodes, but I like the idea of taking a hero and using the hero as sort of a call to action, or you know, in this case, you know, the idea of Wonder Woman as a call to wonder about yourself. So that's really cool. Thanks, Chitor.
Yeah, it is cool. You're welcome. Oh man, that's awesome. And what's also interesting, I'm gonna play your role today. So to bring some practical guidelines into what to do about this. So one of the most powerful ways that I've found to help people start to kind of reset their HPA axis is to wake up with the rise of the sun around that time and get yourself outside. Allow the sun to hit your skin, to hit your eyes. I wouldn't suggest staring at the sun, however some people seem to get away with it. But in every cell of your body, there's receptors that let the body know what time it is, the circadian rhythm. So getting out in the sun is a way to reset the system without having to do anything like conscious work around it. Just get out in the sun, go for a walk, do some zone exercises or yoga or tai chi or whatever feels balancing to you, and allow that sun to hit you and hit as much of your body that you can expose.
Yeah.
To allow that to help, it's like pressing control alt delete on your HPA access. It really helps to tune the system.
Yeah.
So that's one really powerful way that I found. Another powerful way is, as practitioners ourselves, coaches, etc.,
mm-hmm.
allowing yourself to feel how tired you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because through feeling that and mm-hmm. starting to work on that yourself, you're not going to have just this theoretical knowledge or what you're going to get out of these books.
Yeah.
You're going to have experiential knowledge. You're going to have experience of what it feels like to feel how tired you are.
Yeah.
You're going to have the experience of, okay, that's okay. Mm-hmm. How do I coach myself through that?
Mm-hmm.
So that I can feel my tiredness, mm-hmm. so that I can rest and relax to regenerate.
Yeah.
You know, to take from a Czech model, the four doctors, there's another doctor that Paul gives voice to, which is the fifth doctor in my book, which is Dr. Payne.
Yeah.
And right. one of the reasons Dr. Payne comes around is because we're not allowing ourselves to feel how tired we are.
Yeah.
So we're using all these substances and arguments and tension, etc., to get the stress response to numb out how tired we are. But there's a super beautiful caveat to this, at least in my book, is that the body is amazingly wise, and it will figure out a way to stop you. It will figure out a way for you to rest.
Mm-hmm.
How does that show up? Anxiety, depression, disease, symptoms, flus, colds, parasite infection, fungal infection, gut dysbiosis. All of that starts to show up as messengers from the body to force you to slow down, to heal. And what is, you know, from nothing against allopathic medicine, and at times what allopathic medicine does is we cover those symptoms up so we can continue to push harder and harder and harder, essentially, from my perspective, disrespecting the wisdom of the body that's saying, yo, you need to rest so we can heal.
Yeah.
And when you look at some research around efficiency of human beings, what they're finding is that you're way more efficient, bright, clear, level-headed, emotionally balanced when you're rested and balanced.
Yeah.
That means you can get more work done and knock it out of the park when you allow yourself to rest and recover.
No, there's this interesting, right, especially election cycles, we talk about how Americans are the hardest working people on the planet, and we've got all this data about, the average American works a 60-hour work week, right? And it's the most sort of biggest indicator that we're kind of messed up in a way, right? That is taking us, and nobody's asking about, you know, how efficient we are during those 60 hours. Because I can almost guarantee you it's a lot of, okay, I work for, you know, 30 minutes and then I'm on Facebook for 20 and then it's not efficient. And so we ought to be doing, like you're saying, you know, asking about how do I get really efficient during that, whatever it is, just that 8 hours, so that the rest of the time I'm unplugged and I'm resting and enjoying my life in whatever other ways that I can.
Yeah. It's bringing back that wonder and Wonder Woman into this.
Yeah.
Why do we celebrate ourselves so grandly for killing ourselves for working so hard?
Yeah.
And asking the question, does it actually take hard work to be successful?
Yeah, right. Well, and this is the other thing. You know, we always say, I mean, how many times have you heard work smart, not hard? But, I think it goes back to a lot of what we were talking about in the Hulk video, right? This idea that, you know, we have to gut it out. We have to be tough. And if we just put in enough hours, we'll make it over that, whatever that hump is for that person.
For sure.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's great, and thanks for that that practical part, Jatour. Basically, I'm going to do a split screen with you on both sides from now on. You can just you can be the interviewer and the interviewee.
Oh man,
I would watch that conversation between Jatour and Jatour.
I think because the practicality came up again too. Yeah. You know, if you look through all of the videos that we've done, there's just tons of practical stuff there around how to balance out the system, whether it's the blue blockers, whether it's the salt lamps, whether it's the mental and emotional work. Start with where you're willing to start.
Yeah.
And with clients, start where they're willing to start.
Yeah.
Allow them to be part of the guiding process, the self-guiding process, because my experience is you're going to get way better results with them in terms of outcomes that are attached to your agenda.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing them to give voice, like, you know what, Jatour, I'm not willing to change my nutrition. Mm. Cool. But I am willing to start wearing blue blockers and drinking more water.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Yeah. Well, plus those blue blockers you had were pretty cool.
Yes, and they are very cool. I get business wearing those blue blockers because I was traveling. I am a self-proclaimed weirdo. I was traveling to go teach HLC 1, and I was traveling at night. So I'm on the airplane with my blue blockers, my five fingers, and people ask, "Well, why are you wearing glasses? Or why are you wearing those shoes?" Yeah. And that is an invitation to just open it up. And I get clients traveling, mainly stewardess and stewards, asking about this stuff. Or I'll go in the back and stretch while it's a long flight.
Mm-hmm.
And people start asking questions. So I allow my weirdness to be the opening to share what I do.
Excellent. Smart. Allow your weirdness to be the opening to what you do.
Yes. Yeah. That's my elevator speech.
That's great. It's a fantastic fortune cookie, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Jatour. That's great. And I think next time we're going to continue the Hero series, right? We're going to talk maybe a little bit about Spider-Man, right?
I think we're going to go Spider-Man because that movie was awesome.
That was a great movie. All right. And if you haven't seen it yet, go, we don't get any money for saying go see it, so, but go see it.
It's awesome. Awesome flick.
All right. Thanks, Jatour.
All right, brother.
Take care.